Good morning to you all. I too greet you this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful to be here again this morning. God has blessed us again with another day, a day where we can come together and worship Him, have some other things too that are different from our normal days, and I'm thankful that the Lord gives that to us. It's interesting when you have the responsibility of preaching, how topics is such a big deal. I spend probably as much time thinking about the topic as I do actually about the topic when I'm actually studying it. This morning I want to talk about something that, I don't know if it's up there yet, but I'm going to talk about something that's dear to all of us, and that is because we all come from large families. Even if you only have two or three or four children, that's still a large family by the world standards today. I remember when we had our fourth child, I worked with a man that was my age, and he says, "I don't know how you dare have that many children." And I had never even thought about that it was daring. We were doing life. We were having children. So the topic for this morning is to train up a child. And a few words before I get into it. One of the things that's important to me is that I believe it's one of the most important topics to all of us here because we come from large families. And I believe that from the three institutions that God has made or has ordained or has told us to create or make, whatever, the first one is the family. God created the family, and so I think that's one of the first institutions that we should focus on. And I don't really like to use the word institution, but in other places we use that word institution, like the church is also an institution. To me, it's really not an institution either. To me, the church is an organism, and then the government is an institution. But God instituted all three: family, church, and government. And so this is very important to all of us, I believe. I don't believe there's anyone here that the family is not important to. Like I said, even if you only have two children, you come from a background or have the intention of having large families, and therefore we are all, in one way, shape, or form, or another, are into families and believe in families. And then we all know that children are a blessing from God. Children are something that God gives us, and apparently there's a lot of people who don't want too much blessing because they pull that back as much as they can. They don't want to have too large a family. So you already saw the text verse in the bulletin, and the title of the message, like I said, is Train Up a Child. And Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Training is what I want to focus on specifically. Training is a word that I want to lift up, and I hope that it gets your attention enough to where you actually, in your heart of hearts or in your mind, you say, yes, I want to train my children. I want to do that. There are many children, and I think there are probably a lot of adults here that would say this morning that I didn't get training growing up. I had to learn things on my own. I think that's probably the case for a lot of you. I want to spend a little bit of time with the word train. I thought, since we're going to be looking at the verse, and the verse says to train up a child, I thought to just look at the word train. Everybody probably thinks, well, I know what the word train means. But then you look up the definition, and sometimes you get a little bit of a deeper meaning or understanding of it. And the definition for train is to teach a particular skill or type of behavior through practice, instructions over a period of time. That's interesting, isn't it? To train up a child. So the way we're supposed to do that, we are supposed to teach our children a skill. And what skill are we teaching them? Well, we're teaching them the skill of life. So we teach them the skill of life, and we have a particular time to do this. We have this from age one. And I don't know what you guys think. We raised four children. Those four are married. Those four have had children. And I've watched, not only, first of all, I grew up in a home. Subconsciously, you notice things. You pick up things. And then we had our children, and we did our children a certain way. And then now I'm watching our grandchildren to be raised in this period of time. I think most people think you have 18 years. I think you probably, in reality, have, depending on the child, depending on the circumstances, you probably have 5, 6, 7 years to actually mold the most, to do the most important thing of that child, and that is that character that builds in that child. So we have a period of time. Now, I want to say right away that I know that when those 5 or 6 or 7 years are over, it's not really over. We're still training, because if you're a child like I am, you're still learning. I hope you are. I hope you never quit learning. So that is the first word we want to focus on, is the word training and what it means. It means to systematically teach them to do something. And mothers know this for sure. Teachers know this for sure. Fathers know it too. Fathers, I think, not quite as much as the other two categories, but you have to show them or teach them or tell them over and over and over again and again. All kinds of simple little things. In formal training, you teach them how to pronounce words or alphabet. But at home, you might be teaching them how to use the toilet, and you think that's kind of funny until you're a principal and you're teaching first graders to use the bathroom. Thought it was kind of comical. I'm in the bathroom one day, and I noticed that the little boys, they pump 4 pumps of soap in their hand, and they go like this. They turn both water faucets on. They go like this and have it almost rinsed off, and then they pull on the towel. The towel lands on the floor, and out the door they are, and they're going like this. Well, I thought one day, I said, well, since it is our job here to train the whole child, I'm going to take the time. I took the first graders, and I showed them how to do it, and they're really trying, bless their hearts. So it's a lot of work. Training is a lot of work. Training is something that you do for a long time. It's not something that we do one time and then move on. But many of you had to train yourself. You had to, when you came into life, there was not much training. You did observe your parents. And since we learn more from seeing than from hearing, I don't know if you know that. CLE used to have a little cliche. It said, more is caught than is taught. In other words, what they're seeing, they're learning more from what they're seeing. You do it day after day. You can say one thing and do the other. They're going to do what you're doing, not what you're saying. Fathers who had the habit of smoking, I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about. You smoked, and then you told your children, don't smoke. They smoked anyway. They weren't listening to what you were saying. They were watching you. They were doing what you did. Not all of us, not every child will do that, but that's by large the highest. So you do learn. You have had some training, even though it wasn't exactly formal training. You did still learn some things by watching. It's just at a much higher price, and it just takes a whole lot longer. And we as parents, when we train our children, we are saving our children a lot of unnecessary pain and time when we train them. When we train them, they don't have to, in their adult years, learn all kinds of things. And there are a lot of things to when it comes to training a child. And I want to go with you to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we want to spend a little bit of time here. If you have your Bibles with you, and I hope you do, I have discovered that that's a very old habit of preachers to remind people to bring your Bibles, and I want to continue to do that. Sometimes I've gotten a little bit slack at that because you just get tired of repeating yourself, is what I just said, right? So I'm just going to encourage you again to bring your Bibles, and if you have your Bibles in your hand, I want to start reading in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. And then I'm going to read over some verses there, and then I'm going to go back and make some comments here about this that I think are important. In verse 4, if you are in Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the true one, is the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And we think this is New Testament, and this is Old Testament as well. This is way back here where God already said that. And then he said, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them on the sign as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." So I'd like to go back here and make a couple of observations here. If you have your Bible, and if you have a pencil, I really like to use a pencil. That way, if I make a mistake, I can erase it and put something, fix it if I made a mistake. But I would like you to underline four things in verse 7. When you sit, when you walk, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Four things that he tells us to do. So are we not to do the rest of the day? What is in here? Everything is in here. When you sit, when you're eating supper, when you're eating lunch, when you're sitting in the living room, maybe playing dominoes or chess or whatever it is that you do at your house, those are all times that you have the opportunity to train your children. Maybe all you have to do is train them not to be sore losers if they lose. Or, who thought that was funny? Somebody a sore loser? But maybe there's also a gloating winner. Those are both things that, as a parent, we even did this with our grandkids. When we play games and they're sore losers, then you instruct them that this is bad if you're a sore loser. You need to be okay with losing. It's just a game. And then when you win, you don't gloat, make the other guy feel bad. So those are all opportunities to teach them. And then when you walk, wherever we're going, you're driving down the highway, you have an opportunity to talk to your children about life. And we do this all the time. You know, when you're driving down the highway, it's talking about traveling, right? Some of us fathers, we have instructed our boys really well when we're driving and somebody's slow, then he's an idiot, right? And we wonder why our kids call somebody an idiot, and it's because the father said, this slow idiot. So they're listening. They're listening, they're watching. It says when we sit, when we walk, when we lie down, and when we rise up. And the reason I brought this up, because it is such, das ist so eine pinkliche, eindreiche Arbeit. It's a job that doesn't quit. You have to do this all the time. And if you just started off, some of you have just started off, some of you are in the middle, some of you are finished. When you do that, you will think to yourself, this job is never, ever going to end. It seems like I'm going to be training children for the rest of my life. And at my age, I'm just here to tell you that life is so brief. The brevity of time, I cannot tell you that the life just passed by much, much quicker than I thought. And so I want to just encourage you, it is a short time. Make it count. Do your best when it comes to training them. It'll be over quicker than you think. And I want to give you two verses out of Proverbs. Let's go back here, stay here in Deuteronomy chapter 6 for just a little bit. I want to make some points here. One of them is that the main responsibility that I have always said about this is that the main responsibility for training children is the man's job. That's what I've always said. And the reason I did that is if you go to verse 2, it says that you may fear the Lord your God to keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson. I had never noticed before that it says grandson too, so my grandson's got something coming. All the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. A little bit of Hebrew information here, a little bit of Hebrew knowledge. If there are 100 horses in a pen, and what I want to do now is say that I've always said this responsibility is mainly yours and you delegate it to your wife. That's the way I understood it from the scripture. Now I want to tell you that I think when it says here son and grandson, I want to add daughter and granddaughter, and it's also the women. You are his helpmeet. So the two of you have this responsibility of training your children. That's what this scripture teaches, and that's what God expects from us. God expects from the parents to do the teaching. Now, I want to tell you why it's this way and why I've changed my mind about this. In the Hebrew culture, if there's a pen with 100 horses in it and they are all female horses in that pen, then you could refer to them as she, as the female horse. If you wanted to point to the horse and say something to that pen of horses and you want to say something about those horses in the old biblical Hebrew, then you would use the plural for she. If there's one male, if there are 99 females and one male, then you refer to them as males. They were so bent in that direction, and I want to tell you, ladies, you can thank the Christian Christ and the Christian man for making you free, because you know that the women were just one rung up from an animal before Christ. And it was verses like where Paul said, not male nor female nor black nor white, He's including all, and that is what has elevated the woman into an equality that she never had prior to Christ. So the responsibility falls on the parents. The main responsibility, I still believe, the way the headship is set up, the way God wants there to be a leader and a helper, the main responsibility still falls on the men. I want you to understand that. I want you to grasp that good, because many of us grew up with the attitude, I grew up with this, that the raising the children was the wife's responsibility until they were a certain age. I did not know my dad until I was 15. I knew of him. I saw him all the time. When I was 15, Mom came into the bedroom and said, "Hey, Dad is wondering why you aren't in the living room." I was afraid to go in there. I was so awkward when I went in there. And I sat down, and we became good friends, like, over the next years by the time I was. And it was amazing how smart he became from 15 until 23. His knowledge grew phenomenally. So the main responsibility of training the children is your responsibility, fathers, and then you delegate that or use with your wife. That is how God wants you to do that. And I just said that it's a long, it seems like a long job. It's not going to quit. But I want to give you a couple of verses to encourage you out of Proverbs 29 to tell you that it will be worth it. It really will be worth it. But if you don't do it, there will be a lot of regret. Proverbs 29, and I'm going to start with a negative just because it's before the positive. Proverbs 29 and 15 says, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." And this is really the case. A child who is not trained, mom is often going to be ashamed of who her son or daughter is. But just a couple of verses further, it says, "Correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give you delight to your soul." And I can say with truth that this is truth through because it's the Bible, but I can also say this is truth because I've experienced this. There is a real satisfaction to when your children are raising their children, when they're doing the things with their families that you see for good and right. There's a real delight that comes in that. So I just want to tell you that if you don't do it, if you neglect this time, and some of you are maybe saying, "Yeah, but I've already neglected it. He's already 12 or he's already 13. I've already 15 or she, whatever. They're misbehaving." No, it's not too late. First of all, you can pray. And second of all, you can continue to work on that. So parents have the responsibility of raising children. And as in a Christian day school, and may I ask a question here? Where in the Bible do we find a school like we have here? Just I know your brain is faster than any computer, and you've already gone from Genesis 1 through Revelation, and you can't think of a single verse where it talks about school, how we're supposed to do school, is there? It just isn't. So why do we have schools? We have schools because you have the responsibility, and you not all of you have the ability to teach and train your children at home for several reasons, sometimes financial, time, and some people can't read and write so that they can actually teach that to someone else. So you delegate that responsibility to the school. And here in this school, it's a stated goal of ours among me and the staff, or the staff and I, that we are trying to train the whole child, not just how to read, write, and math. We're trying to create character in them. We're trying to help them with all of those things. So that is the answer to that. And so I want to just stay with that responsibility stays there. Our training should be intentional. I think too many times we don't intentionally train. I've observed people, not Nikvenik Volnishiri San or anything like that. You go to one home and you visit and you see how they deal with their children, and you go to another home and you see how they deal with their children, and you see real differences. And one of the things that I want to say is it should be intentional. Instead of just thinking, no, let's train. Let me go to another point that I think is very important as well. And that is, what should we be training them? That's, I think, one of the biggest questions. What do we train them? I believe one of the first things that we should have in our goal is to teach them the fact that there is a God. I don't think there's anybody in this room that disputes that. But there are a lot of people in our world that would already say, no, you need to let your child decide what religion he or she wants to follow. If he wants to be religious at all, we don't believe that. We believe that that's one of the first things we teach our children is that there is a God, that there is only one true God, and that we have a great spiritual need, all of us. Every human being that has ever been born has this hole in his heart that can only be filled with God. If you try to fill that hole with anything else, it's like filling a round hole with a peg or with a triangle. You can only fill it with God. And that is the first thing that we should teach our children. And we see this in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. We see that this happened. And if you want to take it a little bit further, you can just think about what I just said about the Hebrews and how they're the strongest ingredient in the Bible is the Holy Spirit, obviously, and God. But then some of the smaller ones that would be number one, and one is the Hebrew culture. And so the things that I was telling you about the Hebrews, you see that here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. It says, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise. Notice that. They're able to make you wise. There's a lot of people out there that are older, but they're not wise. Here it says that it is able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So that's the first thing. That should be our goal. Our stated goal as a husband and a wife should be to teach our child that there is a real God, and then teach them the Scriptures that will bring salvation to their souls, but it will also make them wise and help them to learn. So in that, we need to teach them to be mature, stable Christians. That should be our goal. That's where we're going with that. A couple of side notes here that I think are very important. I don't know where this started or how it got started, but I hear people say it all the time, and every time I hear it, I'm like, nope, that's not what God wanted. They'll say things like, I'm going to be my child's friend. Our youngest is 33 and our oldest is 40, and I can tell you that they're my friends. But I was first and parent to them. If I had been a friend to them when they were children and needed an adult in the room, we probably wouldn't be friends today. So you need to understand already that God never intended for children to raise children. So if you have it in your head that I want to be a child, I hear people say that too, I never want to grow up. Well, that's pretty obvious. Sal, you look pretty foolish. You act like a child. So you need to grow up. That's the first thing. You need to be an adult, and you need to raise adults. God never intended for children to raise children. It's the older person who should be an adult in the room, and that older person, the adult in the room, teaches the younger children to be adults as well, not the other way around. So we teach our children to be adults. And parents can do this. Mothers and fathers can do this. Don't think that you can't do this. You can do this. And then I also want to give a word to those who don't have a partner. Some people think that they can't do it because they don't have a partner. They were left alone for whatever reason. But I want to encourage you this evening. I gave this to the staff a couple of weeks ago. It's Susanna Wesley's 16 Rules for Parenthood. If anyone wants a copy, my wife has one, and you can read it. I'm not going to go over this, but this lady, I don't remember for sure, but I want to say she raised 17 children on her own. Her husband was a drunk. And if you don't know who Susanna Wesley is, she is the wife to John and Charles Wesley. She did a fine job of raising her children. She educated them, provided for them the physical needs that they had, food, clothing, and shelter. And she did all of this. But she did it with a heavy, heavy dose of God. Every day she would sit on a stump and she would take her apron and put it over her head. And the children knew when that is going on, then mom is praying, and we do not say a peep. We keep it zipped up. And so it is possible in any situation to do this. We can apply the best that we can so that we raise children who will be stable, mature adults. And there are a lot of other things that go into this, and I'm not going to get anywhere near to all of it today. Fathers and mothers, another point that I want to make that's very important, fathers and mothers need to be a team. Children will pick up at a very, very young age that mama said no, but papa will say yes. You are teaching that child to manipulate. You are not teaching that child to be a mature adult. That child may very well have problems with authorities all the time, where one authority says you can't do this, the other authority says you can, and then because they think they can get away because they grew up that way, they think they can get away with it that way. And I want to just tell you, that moms and dads, the first question if a child comes to you and asks you, can I do this? The first question should be asked is, have you already asked mom or dad? If the answer is yes, then you definitely need to be talking to your spouse to find out what did you say, because the children are in school, I tell them. And this is a little tidbit of information here. If you get this right, you'll be much help. But the little child you're holding on your hand, until he converts or she converts, is a little sinner, knows how to manipulate, and you think your child doesn't do that, I have some bad news for you. Your child does do that. And the children that are here, they're saying, oh, I wish we would have stayed home today. I'm just here to encourage your parents to make better adults out of you. There should be a consistent yes and no from both parents. I don't think many, many parents, I know I did some of this, when they came and asked me, before the question was completely out, I said no. And then when the question was all the way out, then I realized, oh, this wouldn't have been a no. So parents, you need to listen. Listen completely, let them ask the question completely, consider what they're asking, and then find out, and then make sure that it happens the same way. I want to encourage the moms with two verses, Colossians chapter 3. Excuse me, I want to back up here a little bit. I didn't mean it like that. I want to encourage the moms that you will help your children to respect the father. That goes a long ways when the children respect the father. If there's not that respect, that consistency, the inconsistency, there's many more things like that that come in, and I just want to encourage you to do that. Now, I want to, with two verses, Colossians chapter 3 and 21, and Ephesians 6:4, I want to talk to the fathers a little bit here. I didn't bring a verse for the moms to respect their dads, their fathers, but I think we all know that that is scriptural and that God wants it that way. But this other point that I want to lift up, I think it's very important. It says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. And then if you go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And so we have two things here. We are not to discourage them, and we're not to make them angry. How do we do that? When it says it here, what is it that brings this kind of thing out? Well, I think parents need to work together, the topic that I'm in. And I think when the parents are not working together, I think that's where discouragement often comes from. But it also comes from inconsistency. Today I can ride my four-wheeler on the highway, and then all of a sudden that's against the rule and I can't ride my four-wheeler on the highway anymore. Or the other way around. Maybe I can't ride my four-wheeler on the highway today because either one of the parents is not in a good mood, and so today you can't. Tomorrow they go and ask again, well, they're in a good mood, and then they can. There needs to be a consistency. You need to have consistent things. You don't do it one way today and another way tomorrow. You remain the same. You remain stable. That's how you will create stable adults. Another one that I think is important is not lying to them. Do you ever lie to your children? If you tell them that if you get a 95% in language next quarter, then I will give you $20. And he gets a 96 and you don't give him the $20, you just lied to him. Or if you tell him, you do that one more time, I'm going to spank you, and then he does it again and you don't spank him, you just lied to him. These are very real things that happen all the time, and I want to encourage you this morning that you don't do that, that you continue on training. Training, what is training? Training is a thought process that this is what we're trying to accomplish. We're not just doing it haphazardly. We are training our children. I want to speak a little bit on this whole haphazard thing. In Psalm 127, and I believe it's verse 4, it says, let me just read it, Psalm 127 and verse 4. This is a very important point here. Psalm 127 and 127 verse 4 says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. And there's lots of stuff in those verses yet too. But one of the things that I think is important is this whole idea of having a goal where we're training our children. Now, you're going to have much, much grace and mercy, lots and lots of grace and mercy on yourself and then on your children, because you're going to aim at something. And let's just say you have a goal and that target is over there, and you take your bow, you take one out, and you just pull it and shoot it straight up and see, let's see where it goes. That's what happens when we're not actually thinking about what we're training. Just let it happen the way it'll happen. That's what that would be. Well, nobody tries to hit a target that way. Or nobody would take an arrow, the target is over there, and I want to hit the target and turn over here and shoot it this way. We're going to be looking at the arrow, and I just want to say that continue with this goal in mind. And even if you haven't done it up to this point, it's okay. We can always start new. We can even sit down and with our spouse and say, let's pray this through, let's discuss this, and let's see what we should be doing different, and then let's start going in that direction. And like I said, you're going to have a heavy, heavy dose of mercy and grace in there for your children and for yourself. Because there are other things that come into play. For example, my goal is over there and I'm shooting my arrow over there, but there's also a wind. Now, maybe you aim too far this way and the wind pushes, prayer can be that wind where it pushes it back and it hits the goal. But there are also other things that play into this. The communities in which we live, extended family, and now we all pretty much all have media in our homes that all play a role in whether they will, even though you shot it over there and it winds up some totally other place and you just beating yourself up, oh, I did an awful job. But there's so many other things that go into this. Like I said, family, extended family has influence on your children, schools, church. And I want to tell you that I think that school, Christian day school, is extremely important. I think this is what I've been taught, and I'm just going to hand it over to you. I believe that to raise a child, you have a three-legged stool. And if the three legs are not the same, the stool is not going to be worth much. The stool is the family, the church, and the school. If they're teaching something different in one of these, if you're teaching something different at home or practicing something different at home than what the school and church teach, that stool is not a square stool. It's sitting like this. Or if maybe you're sending them to a school that doesn't believe what you believe in church and at home, you have a stool that's not sitting properly. And all of these things, these are all just pictures, just like this picture here. They're pictures where God talks to us and tries to get us to understand what we should be doing. And that's why I'm saying that you need a heavy dose of mercy and grace in there for yourself and for your children, because if it doesn't turn out exactly the way you think that it should have, then you're going to be beating yourself up. And at the end of the day, they too have a free will. They too can make decisions and decide what they want to do in this life. So it takes a lot of work and a lot of thought to train up a child in the way that he should go. So children will ask many, many questions, and I want to just encourage you that you would take that time when you walk, when you sit, when you lie down, when you rise up, talk to them. It is your opportunity. You are only going to get this opportunity one time. So, of course, if you have grandchildren, you'll be so blessed that you can influence them a little bit. I'm very blessed that I can influence our grandchildren a little bit more than I thought. I was so blessed this summer. I needed some young men to do some digging. I wanted to do some dirt work around the house and at the RV park, and I was like the guy in the Bible. I was too old to dig, so I asked my sons, do you know some young men that could dig? And there our two sons and my son-in-law, they all within minutes said, can our son not work for you? So I had three helpers most of the summer, and so I was really blessed. We had some great conversations, and I was very blessed that I was able to put some thoughts in their heads and get some conversations going, which I know the fathers appreciated that very much too, and the moms too, as well. So now I want to say a few words yet about discipline. Like, we can't do this without discipline, right? This is the funnest one, right? Right, boys? The boys are saying, oh, no, don't talk about that. Well, I want to tell you first and foremost that the end goal should be to train the child. Anyone who takes their anger out on their child That is not training. That's not discipline. That's beating somebody that you have the privilege or permission to beat. I know for sure that none of the women here would like to be beat by their husband. But there was a time when that was accepted and that was normal. Now it's not accepted and it's not normal and nobody should do that. And neither should we beat our children. But discipline, yes. Discipline is something totally different. Discipline is when we're trying to accomplish something and sometimes we just don't learn without pain, right? Are you like that? I'm like that. I hate it, but I have had a lot of pain in my life and I didn't learn until I had that pain. And children are the same way. And so if we want to, wenn wir unsere Kinder wollen zum Wiedersporen und der Zukunft, if we want to save our children from some unnecessary pain in the future, then we will discipline them at home and teach them through pain. And I want to give some practical advice, but I want to read some verses first. First is Proverbs 13:24. It says, Proverbs 13:24, he who spares his rod hates his son. Wow. Isn't that powerful language? Boys, isn't that powerful language? This says that if your parent doesn't discipline you, they hate you. How do you like that? I think that's powerful language. I hear people say all the time, oh, I love my child too much to spank him. You actually contradicted the Bible when you say that. The Bible says it the other way. It says, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him. Disciplines him promptly. And there's another conversation there about promptly it could be had yet too. That's another thing that will discourage children and make them angry if they're promised discipline today and they get it 3 days later. That's not the way it should be done. But I want to just focus here on a little bit on disciplining. Like everybody thinks discipline is just spanking. And I don't believe that. I believe when a child has crossed over a line that the child was told that they shouldn't cross over, taking away a privilege is great discipline. It hurts. But Dad, I want to drive a four-wheeler right now. No, you did what I told you you shouldn't do. So now for a week, you can't drive the four-wheeler. Well, that will really sink in deeper. Oh, I shouldn't be doing this. Or maybe stand in the corner. I don't know. There's all kinds of different ways that you can discipline them. But at the end of the day, one of the things that we do need to know is that we do need to teach them discipline. If children do not learn self-control, I think self-control, and Susanna Wesley says this in her thing, in her little writing here too, this self-control is one of the most necessary things to live a good Christian life. I wish I had more self-control. Self-control is actually the opposite of what everybody thinks it is. Self-control actually brings us more joy than living for the moment. If you don't have self-control, you will learn to regret what you're doing because you're going to be doing too much of it. You can take this all over the place. If, for example, if you're a glutton, you're going to enjoy while you're eating, but you're going to hate it later because you're going to feel so stuffed and you're going to have all kinds of other issues that come with that. If you control yourself and just eat what you should be eating, you will feel good. Your body will thank you. And so there's a whole, I hate to say it like this, but I think self-control is probably one of the top things in our life that we need to learn. And our children need to learn that at a young age. And the younger they learn that, the better they are. And here it says that he who spares his rod hates the son. And I want to read some more of these. There's a whole list of things that we could teach yet on, for example, on finances and work ethics. And all those things are all necessary. But I'm not going to get into that this morning. I just want to finish this on discipline and then we'll close for today. But the next one is in Proverbs is 19:18. Proverbs 19:18 says, chasten your son while there is still hope. What does that mean? If you don't discipline him when he's young, when he gets 22 and he wasn't disciplined and didn't learn whatever it was that he's supposed to learn, it's going to be very, very tough. If someone doesn't learn discipline and self-control at home as a child, then the teachers will try to teach the child that, and the teachers can't accomplish that. Then the law enforcement will do it on the street. And if the law enforcement can't get it done on the street, they will wind up in prison. But you will learn self-control in this life. Either that or you will be an indulgent. If we just go with the food, you'll be a glutton, you'll be an indulgent, and you'll have prices to pay in your health. Or whatever it is. Or finances is another one. If you don't control yourself in your finances, you will always be poor. Those are the laws of nature. So these are all things where we need to learn discipline. And here it says, 19:18, chasten your child, your son, while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. Wow. If you don't do this, you're setting your heart on his destruction or hers. And again, I want to say it again. Heavy doses of grace and mercy for your child and for yourself if they don't meet all these marks. And I know some of you are probably like me. You're beating yourself up for some things that you wish you had done different. But we can, as parents and grandparents, can always pray. They're people of their own will. The free will is just an amazing thing to me. Proverbs 23:13 says, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Wow. That's some powerful language. That doesn't work in our society, does it? And I'm not suggesting to anyone that we beat our children up. And then one more, and then we'll quit. And that is Proverbs 29:17. It says, correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. And this is really true. Those of you who have raised children, grown children, they're mature, stable adults. They're having children. They're raising them properly. And you watch that as a grandfather or grandmother. There truly is a delight in that. Or another big aspect, you can sit down and have an adult conversation with your adult son. And you can actually communicate and have respect for one another. And that's another topic. Respect, it would be another topic for this, that children need to be taught in many different ways. So it will give you delight. But also the other side of that will as well. So I'm going to close with Matthew 23:23. And you're going to wonder, why is he bringing this verse into here for this? Because that doesn't make any sense. Well, again, it's things that you hear, and then those things have to be addressed. Matthew 23:23, Jesus says to the Pharisees, or to the scribes, and to the Pharisees, he says, woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint, anise, cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. What's that got to do with raising a family? Well, you know, I hear people say things like this. Well, I got beat at home all the time, so I'm not going to spank my children. So we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. We see that the bathwater isn't clean, and so we just throw it all out. No, let's take the baby out, clean the water, and put it back in. It is totally, totally biblical to discipline children. We can't just say, I was abused with beatings, therefore I'm not going to discipline my children. That's not the correct answer. The correct answer is that, like I've been saying, we train, we think, we contemplate, we pray, we look to see what it is that we can do to create productive. You know, years ago when I was principal at SMS, I wanted to know what the government said on what the rule was for a homeschool. I wrote Austin a letter and asked them if I could have the written law on what the homeschools were supposed to have, and they sent me a little book, and I read in that little book, and it was a little bitty book. I was surprised at how little was in there. There was more in there to support homeschools and Christian day schools than there was anything else. There was what they actually applied to the law was actually pretty small. But one of the things is that we are to produce productive, respectable citizens. I thought, well, that's simple. You teach them to be a Christian and they'll do that, right? And so with that, I just want to say, let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater. If discipline wasn't correct on one side, let's not just throw it all out. Let's not go overboard. Let's look and see what's correct and do that. So in summary, train your children and don't let them do it themselves. You do it. You train them. Parents, it is your responsibility to raise them. Do it with a goal, and it will be over sooner than you think. Be a team. Don't lie to them, and you will not regret it. You will regret it if you don't, and raise them to be mature, responsible adults. May God bless his word. Let's stand for a prayer.